Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 14. Verse number 14 says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." We're going to look at the first half of the verse tonight that talks about having our loins girded about with truth. Several times in our travels back and forth to America, we have gone through the island of Guam. One of the things that I always notice about the island of Guam that seemed to be unique, and it's probably true of other places as well, but in all the places we've traveled, this is unique to Guam, and that is that the houses look unusual. They're all built out of concrete or cement, and they usually have flat roofs, or many of them have flat roofs that are all concrete. The whole house is concrete, top to bottom. And the reason is because Guam is right in the path of cyclones. Cyclones hit Guam regularly. And when a cyclone comes through, if that house isn't made out of concrete, it goes squash. And so they build the houses strong out of concrete, reinforced concrete, all the buildings. They have shutters, strong shutters on the windows, so when the storms are coming, they shut up the windows, they board up the house, the whole place looks like it's abandoned, and they wait out the storm while the cyclone passes over. Because their goal is, they want the house to stand at the end of the storm. They want the house to stand at the end of the storm, not to fall in. Now, God is telling us here in this verse that He wants us to stand against temptation. He wants us to stand strong. After the temptation's over, He wants us still to be standing. He doesn't want us to fall. He doesn't want us to crumble. He doesn't want us to fall apart. He doesn't want us to yield to the temptation. He wants us to stand strong. And so, tonight as we look at this subject of standing, He talks here about, He says, "Stand therefore," and then He tells us how, "having your loins girt about with truth." Having your loins girt about with truth. And that's what we're going to focus our attention on tonight. And we're going to answer three important questions about our text that will help us to understand this. The first question is this. Of what significance was the belt of a soldier? What was his belt for? What was it for? What did he have a belt for? This girding of his loins is what we're talking about here tonight. First of all, let's define the terms, all right? We need to understand the terms in order to understand. The word loins. You all have loins, but we don't really talk about our loins too much. Our loins are our waist or our hips, all right? This is a part of our body is loins, all right? This is our loins. And so he said to me, we need to gird up the loins of our mind. We need to gird our loins. And so this is our waist. Now, the word gird means to fasten a belt around it, to fasten a belt. All right, so we fasten a belt around our waist or our loins. And so he says, gird up the loins, gird up your loins. Now, often in the Bible, we find the phrase, gird up your loins. And it was used of a lot of different people for a lot of different reasons. But here's the main emphasis of it. This refers to, as one man put it, he said, it's the habit of the Orientals who quickly gathered up their loose robes and with a girdle when they were in a hurry or starting on a journey. So they pull up their long robe. If they had a long flowing robe, they pull it up and they stick it under their belt so that they could run. So they could run without it tripping them if they had to run. And so that was one of the ways. And also, another commentator said that it says, girding up your loins meant to put oneself in readiness for service that might be required. So he's getting himself ready for service, ready for some kind of work, ready to do something. Maybe he's working out in the field and he pulls up the long garment that he had, tucks it under his belt so that he can move more quickly. He can get down and plant his plants. He can work in the field, digging or plowing or hoeing or whatever he's doing in his field, taking care of his crops and his animals. So those are the ways that they girded up their loins. Now the belt held up the garments. And it was tucked in for the main purpose of running and for working. All right, whoever over here is talking, let's not talk, okay? No talking, okay? I want you to listen to me. Now, so they pulled up their garments, tucked them into their belts so that they could move more quickly and run. Now, the girdle, this girdle was a belt, all right? It's another name for a belt or a girdle, all right? It was virtually a vital part of a soldier's armor. The soldiers wore belts or these girdles, and it was not really to protect them. Some of the belts may have been wide enough that they did provide some protection, but it was not primarily for protection. The soldier's belt was usually a wide leather belt. It was usually a wide leather belt wore around his waist, and it would be used for two purposes primarily. One was to hook his sword on, and the other purpose was so that when the battle started, he could quickly grab his garments and tuck them under there and gird them up so he can get ready to run, and he had his hands free and he could fight in the battle. Because he didn't want to trip and fall, and he needed his sword right there handy, so it was fastened right on his belt, and it was ready for him. So those are the two main reasons for a soldier wearing a belt or a girdle, or as it was called here. And the girdles in the Bible were made of different things. Sometimes, especially wealthy type people would wear one that was more of linen or some fancy cloth that maybe was studded and had all kinds of fancy stuff on it. And it was, you know, just a fancy belt, more of decoration, but it served the purpose as well. But the soldier's belt was more of a leather type of belt, rugged, sturdy, strong, ready for battle, ready for the fight. And so in some of the girdles, and we'll see here in just a moment, as Cleon Rogers points out, he says the Roman soldiers wore one of at least three kinds of belts, wide belts or girdles. He said the breech-like leather apron worn to protect the lower abdomen. He said sometimes it was even wider than, you know, a hand's breadth, and it would come down, kind of hang down and protect your lower gut area, your abdomen. It would protect this, so it would kind of cover this whole area it wouldn't stop a spear probably, but it might stop an arrow or something of that nature. It would help to protect their lower gut area. The other reason he mentions is that it was worn to hold their sword, as I mentioned, and then also the officers in the army would often wear some that are very decorated and studded and stars and all that kind of stuff on them just because they were, you know, the officers in the army. Are in the military. So those are the three areas that the reasons that the soldiers would wear these girdles or belts to gird up their loins. Now when he girded his loins, it was so that he could be free to move around, use his hands in battle, and his legs were free to run and fight the soldiers that were coming after them. Remember, in those days, much of the combat was hand to hand. It was gruesome. You know, sword him or he's going to sword you, you know, and it was terrible. But a lot of the battles were like that, so it's very important you had to move quickly. If you tripped and fell, it might cost you your life. You know, if somebody's chasing you with a spear and you tripped and fall, he's got you. But if you got your garment tucked in and you're able to run to protect yourself, it was very important. So these things were very important to soldiers. So Paul uses this picture for us to help us to understand what God wants us to do. It's for our protection. We are to put on a belt. Now, how does God apply the belt of a soldier to our spiritual armor? How does he apply that? Well, truth is the Christian's belt. Notice with me verse 14 again. He says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." Having your loins girt about with truth. All right, now, so truth is the soldier's belt. Now, in what way is truth our belt? You know, since the armor, all right, let me turn it around and ask you a question. Whose armor are we wearing? Ours or God's? We're wearing God's armor. All right, so it's God's armor. And so the belt of truth belongs to God. Isn't mine. Alright, so that tells us something important. It lets us know that it's not talking about me telling the truth. Alright, he's not saying, alright, now you start telling the truth and it'll protect you. Well, that's true. Telling the truth will protect you and it is a good idea. But that's not the belt. Alright, the belt of truth is God's truth. It is truth about God. Truth that we know about God. Remember, our protection is the person, the power, and the panoply of God. It's the person of God. He is the one that protects us. It is the power of God, because he's the only one that's got the strength to defeat the devil. And it is the panoply of God. It is the armor, the full suit of armor that God gives us. And this is the first piece of the armor, is the belt of truth. And so it is truth. Now, as we think about God, God is truth, and God says truth. All right, young people, you need to get that embedded in your hearts and your minds. God is truth and God says truth. And so as we look in the Bible, we see descriptions of God. And it applies to all three persons of the Trinity. All right, for example, Titus chapter 1, verse number 2 says, "In the hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began." So God the Father is truth. He cannot lie. Then we find about God the Son, John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So Jesus said, I am the truth. The Father is truth because he doesn't lie, but the Holy Spirit also is truth. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 6. 1 John 5, 6 says, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. The Spirit is truth. So, God the Father is true, God the Son is truth, and God the Holy Spirit is truth. So all three of the Trinity are truth because they're God. They are absolutely true. They will not lie to us. They will not lead us astray. They will not deceive us. They are truth in every way. Now, because God is true, that means everything that comes out of the mouth of God is true. And so God's word that we have before us is true. His promises are true. We can depend upon him because God is truth. And if he said something, we can depend upon it. If God says something, we can be sure God meant what he said and it is true. And we need to realize that and believe that, because that's part of our protection. Believing what God said to be true. Now, let me give you some examples of some promises. These are some examples of promises you need to find in the Bible to help you in time of temptation. I'm only going to give you four examples, but there's lots of examples, and you need to find them. That's part of our work as a Christian, is to find examples of things that will help us. First example is this. Romans chapter 8 and verse 37 says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. He says we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. What is a conqueror? What's a conqueror? Anybody know? What's it mean to conquer?
Taking like a land or to make someone
subdue someone. Okay, to put something else down, to be the victor, to be the winner, to conquer. All right? So he says here that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. God gives us strength to conquer our enemy. We got a promise from God. Romans chapter 8, verse 37. Here's another promise. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. God said in that, many different things he said in that verse, but he said he is faithful. He said he will not give us a allow us to have a temptation that is stronger than we can handle. He said there that there will always be an exit door where you can run and get away. You don't have to yield to the temptation. Now, God tells us that. That means I cannot come to God and say, well, God, you can't blame me for that sin because there was no way out of it. God says every temptation you face has an exit door. You don't have to sin. You don't have to go that way. And he says, I will never give you one that is too strong for you. You know, sometimes Christians say, well, I don't know if I believe that because this temptation was so strong, there's just no way I could get out of it. You know why that happens? There's a reason. There's a reason why. Here's the reason. Because God says, don't do it, and we take a step closer to it. He says, don't do it, and we go a little closer. Don't do it, we get a little closer. Don't do it, we get a little closer. And finally, if you get so close to the lion that the lion grabs you, and you say, well, there's nothing I can do about it, he grabbed me. Well, God was telling us a long time ago, don't even get near him. And we keep getting closer and closer, and we disobey, and get closer and closer, and then the lion grabs us. Well, you can't blame God for that. It wasn't God's fault. It wasn't God's fault that the devil got us. He said, there's always a way of escape, and I'll never give you a temptation that's too strong for you. We could have said no back here, but we didn't. And we could have said no here, but we didn't. And we could have said no here. By the time we got so close to the temptation, it grabbed us. Now, there are some temptations like that, that if you don't say no early, it will grab you. You know, a lot of addictions, pornography, and other things that will grab you if you get too close to it. And it'll grab you and you'll say, I can't get loose. And yeah, you may be stuck for a while until you really turn to God to get loose. But it's because we have not listened to God back here and done what was right over here, and we got too close to the sin. So God says there's always a way of escape. So there's another promise. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Another one. Hebrews 13:5. He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God said, I will never leave you or forsake you. I won't do it. I won't leave you. I won't leave you stranded. So we can never come to a situation and say, But God, you just left me. You just deserted me. And I was alone and I just fell on my face. No, God said, I'll never leave you. And sometimes Satan will come to us and lie to us and say, God doesn't love you anymore. You wicked, rotten sinner. Look what you did. God doesn't love you. I guess he just left you. You're on your own now. God, and when you remember this promise, no, God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you. God promises. And so we need to claim this promise. One last example, 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He said, greater is he that is in you. The Spirit of God lives in me. The devil lives in the world. All the demons live in the world. He says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So there's a promise from God. When I'm faced with temptation, I feel like, oh, it's getting me down. I can't win. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I can win. And so you've got to go through the Bible, look for verses that can help you in your temptation. Whatever your temptation may be. Maybe you have a problem with lying. Maybe you have a problem with your thoughts. Maybe you have a problem with your tongue. Maybe you have a problem with some other area. You need to find verses that will help you in that area and hang on them. And claim them as God's promise, because that is putting on truth. The Bible is truth. This is our truth that we need to put on. And you don't take the Bible and wrap it around you and say, oh, I got to get my belt fast in the Bible. That's not going to do you any good. You've got to put it on in your mind. You got to put it on your mind. We're going to get into that in a moment. All right? So we need to claim the truth when Satan lies to us. You know, Satan lies to us all the time. He'll say things like, God doesn't love you anymore. Look what you did. You messed up everything. God doesn't love you. Or he may say to you, God will never forgive that sin. You're done now. You blew it. God will never forgive that. That's a lie. He may come to you and say another lie like, you know, now that you've sinned, I guess you might as well just keep on doing it because you already blew it. So go ahead and enjoy it. Keep on doing it. That's another lie. You know, he'll come to us with all kinds of lies to try to get us to keep doing bad and keep doing wrong. He's lying. He is a liar. And we need to fight lies with truth. Fight lies with truth. So you take God's truth to fight the lies of the devil so that you can win the battle. So we need on God's truth. Now, each Christian must gird on his belt himself. Putting on the belt of truth is every Christian's personal deed and duty. Look at the verse again, verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Now, you can't see it in our English, but once again, we have a middle passive verb. Now, we've talked about middle voice verbs before. By now, you should be kind of catching on. The middle voice means you do it to yourself. You have to gird yourself on with truth. God gives us his word. And then he says, put it on. He said, well, I don't want to do that. Well, you're not going to have your armor on then if you won't do it. God says you need to put it on. And you're going to have to do it yourself. I can't force you to memorize Bible verses that will help you. I can't do that. I can't make you read the Bible and study it to help you. I can't do that. All I can do is tell you what God said. Do it, do it, do it. You have to make the choice. You got to make the choice. And so it's a middle voice verb. But it's also a past tense verb. A past tense verb. That means it's something you have to do. It's already done when you face the battle. All right? So if it's already done when you face the battle, that means you need to put on the belt when? Before the battle. Before the battle. You don't wait until Satan's on you and he's bombarding you with some temptation that is so strong that you really want to yield to it. And you say, hang on, the devil, let me go find my Bible and read it a little bit. I haven't been reading it for a while. And run off and find it. Yeah, it's too late then. It's too late then. You got to have the belt on before he attacks. Because if you don't, you won't have any power. You know, it's like a soldier going out to battle. And he says, oh, I forgot to wear my armor today. But, you know, it'll be all right. There won't be anybody out there. And all of a sudden, the enemy comes over the hill. Comes running after him. Says, oh, hang on, soldier. Let me go get my armor. He runs off. It's too late then. It's too late. You've got to have it on. You've got to have it on. So, he says, you need to put on your belt before the armor. And you put it on. It's in the middle past tense. Middle voice past tense. You put it on yourself before the battle starts. Okay? I realize it's a little technical, but you're all catching on. I've gone over those kind of things many times before, so I think you're understanding. And we must do this, wear this belt of truth to enable faster resistance to temptation. Remember the soldier and the farmer? He girds up his loins. Why? To make it easier to run, easier to walk, easier to work. All right? Same thing is true with us as Christians. We gird up the loins of our minds. We put the Word of God in our minds. We wrap the Word of God around us. We keep the Word in our heart so that we can move more quickly when temptation comes. So when the devil comes and attacks you and says, go ahead and look at that, you can immediately have a verse to say, no, God says that I shouldn't do that. And you can quote that verse in your mind and quote it in your heart and even quote it to the devil as he's trying to tempt you. But if you don't have it ready, you say, well, hold on, devil. I know there's something in the Bible that says I shouldn't do that, but I can't remember what it is or where it is. It's too late then. You got to have it on. You got to have it on. All right? So you got to put on the belt of truth. It'll help you so that you won't trip over doubt. It'll help you so you won't question God's ability. It'll help you so you won't be deceived by the demonic lies. The belt of truth will help us. Now, how do we put it on? How do we put it on? This is the most important part of the message tonight, because you can know what a belt is, you can know how it applies to us, but if you don't know how to put it on, it doesn't do any good. All right, so listen carefully. How do we put it on? First of all, we put on the truth by finding specific promises. You've got to find specific promises. I mentioned it a moment ago, but you have to find specific promises. Now, listen, if you don't know how to find a verse to help you in a particular temptation, then humble yourself and come and see me and say, Pastor, I need a verse on this subject. All right? Now, our pride says, oh, I don't want to do that because then he's going to think I'm a terrible person. No, I won't. I'll think you're a wise person because you're seeking some help to find a verse to help you. That's wise. That's not terrible. That's good. We all face temptations. I face temptations. And I have to go looking for verses to help me in my temptations, to help me overcome the problems that I face. And so we have to find specific verses that will help you. And then you need to find them and learn them so that they can be a help to you. Now, you need to believe God's truth in your heart. You need to believe that God will do what he says. If you have a verse that promises that God is stronger than the devil, then you need to believe that when the devil comes on you and he's putting pressure on you and you feel like, I can't resist it. You need to believe God will help me and he's stronger than the devil, and then cry out to God for help. But if you don't believe it, you're not going to cry out to God like you should, and you're not going to have the help. Or whatever the temptation may be, you need to find a verse and claim the verse. So find those verses that will help you in the Bible. And as I said before, if you struggle to find them, then come and see me. Let me help you find some verses. I can help you. And we just need to work together at finding verses that will help us beat the devil in this battle. Find verses of truth. Number two, you need to put on God's truth every day. It's got to be done every day. Every day we need to draw near to God and put on his truth through Bible study and prayer. It's absolutely vital. It's absolutely vital. The reason, and I haven't done any survey, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think so. I think one of the major reasons that Christians are not victorious over sin today is because they don't spend time with God. Don't spend time with God. You've got to be in the Bible. Young people, you've got to read the Bible. You've got to pray. If you don't, you're not going to be able to have victory. You can't. Because you can't do it in your own strength. You need God's help. Remember what James 4:8 says? Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. So God says, you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. And how do you draw near to God? You just set aside a time and say, I'm going to spend time with God, reading the Bible and praying. I'm going to draw near to God. You got to do it. You got to do it. If we're going to have victory, we've got to do it. And that's very important for us to understand it. Next, there's daily we need to put on the truth by memorizing and meditating on these things. You've got to have these things in the forefront of your mind. And, you know, 3/4 of us will say, I can't memorize. That is a lie of the devil. You can memorize. Now, you may not be able to memorize the whole Bible next year. I admit that. That takes a very intelligent and very talented person to be able to memorize a massive amount like that in a short period of time. But all of us can memorize. It may take you a month to get a verse down, but you can memorize. And you're far better off memorizing 12 verses a year than none. Alright? So don't use the excuse, I can't. That's a lie from the devil. You're believing his lie. You can. Find a verse that will help you and start memorizing it. Put it in your pocket. Carry it around with you. Put it on the fridge. Wherever you want. Put it on your desk. I don't care. But just carry it with you and go over it and 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 read it and read it and read it. And have a friend quiz you on it and have your spouse quiz you on it and have the kids quiz you on it or you kids have mom and dad quiz you on it and keep going over and over and over and over and over and over and over again until it finally sticks in your mind. It sticks in your mind. So it's stuck there. We need it. We need it. What did Jesus do when he was tempted? Did Jesus say, hang on, Satan, I know you're telling me a lie here. Somewhere in the Bible it says that what you're saying isn't true. Is that what he said? No, he says, it is written. And he quoted off the scriptures. The next time, he says, it is written. And he quoted off the scripture. It is written. And he quoted off the scripture. Now you say, yeah, well, that was Jesus. Well, yes, he was God. But that's not an excuse. The verses he quoted, he only quoted three verses. And so, that's not anything major. You can learn that in 3 months if it takes you a whole month to learn a verse. But you know, most of us could learn a verse in a few days if we put our hearts into it. You really could. In a few days, if you wanted to learn, you could learn it. And we just need to put our minds in it and our hearts in it to memorize the Bible. John chapter 8 and verse 32 says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So, God wants His truth in us. And He says, the truth will make you free. You'll be set free from the devil's attacks if we claim the truth. Now, also, daily, we need to put on God's truth by walking in the truth. Walking in the truth. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 6 says, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. We need to walk as Christ walked. We need to walk with him. 3 John chapter 1 verse 4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. John says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And you know, every parent here tonight would say the same thing John said about the Christians he was talking about. Every parent says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. You children, your mom and dad want you to walk in truth. You can be grateful and thankful to God that you've got a mom and dad that loves you and loves God, and they want you to walk in truth. They don't want you to walk in evil ways. They want you to walk in truth. The Bible's the truth. They want you to follow the Bible. And God wants us to do that. So we need to walk in the truth. Let the Bible be our guide. Remember, we've talked different times about the verses there in 1 Thessalonians 5, 21 and 22, where he says that we are to prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. You know, every couple of days when my wife and I make kefir at our house, and we take the kefir that we've made, and it's thick, and we put it through a strainer, and we push it with a wooden spoon in the strainer until all the milk kefir goes out the bottom, and the kefir curds stay in the strainer. And then we put them in a new jar to start some more kefir. We don't eat those. There's nothing wrong with eating them, but we don't eat them because they're valuable to us. They're making more kefir. And we let it go through the strainer. So what goes through the strainer is good, and that which doesn't go through the strainer, we keep for another project. And so God is telling us the same thing to do. He says you take every event of life and put it through the Bible. And let God help you decide, is this good or is this bad? Is this harmful? Will it hurt my testimony? Will it harm me? Will it cause me to stumble and fall? Will it be hard on my children? Will it give people the wrong opinion of God? Will it be disgraceful in some way? And you put it through the sieve. And if it goes through and God says, yes, it's fine, then go ahead. But if you put it through the Bible, most of the time, if we're honest, we know deep down in our hearts, we know most of the time whether something's good or bad. But we like it. And so we make excuses. And we say, oh, it's okay, everybody else is doing it. I know lots of Christians do it. That has nothing to do with it. Does it go through the grid of the Bible? That's all that matters. All that matters. Doesn't matter whether I do it, or whether a neighbor does it, or some other Christian friend of yours does it. It has nothing to do with it. Does it go through the Bible? Does God approve of it? That's all that matters. And so we need to let God be the one who helps us in that. So walk in truth. And walking in truth, we are applying the Bible during all those temptations. Satan wants us to think three things. Well, I don't want you to get these three things. All three start with F. He wants us to think that which is false. He wants us to think that which is forgiven. And he wants us to think about that which is forbidden. Let me explain it. He wants us to think that which is false. He will tell us all kinds of lies. He doesn't want us to believe the truth about God. He wants us to believe lies. He wants us to believe things that aren't true. So he wants you to think about things that are false. But he also wants you to think about things that are forgiven. What do I mean? You went to God and said, God, I'm sorry, I did that sin, I shouldn't have done that, I'm sorry, please forgive me. What does God promise to do? He says, if I confess my sin, he was faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So he says, I forgive you, I washed you clean. And the devil comes back and says, hey, what about that sin? And God says, I forgave that. But the devil says, oh, yeah, but think about it. Think about that sin. You know, God still knows it. And he brings back that sin. You know, how many times has that happened to you? It's happened to me a lot. I do something wrong. I confess it, get it right with God. And before long, the devil comes knocking on my door and says, hey, what about that sin? And I say, well, yeah, I asked God to forgive me. Yeah, but he starts haunting me, making me think about it. Like, oh, yeah, I shouldn't have done that. That was bad. And he starts getting me down, defeated. Why? Because I have let him. God says, that's not the truth. The truth is, I forgave you. And God said, we need to believe what he said in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if I come to God and pour my heart to God in an honesty, and I say, God, I was wrong. Please forgive me. What did God say he would do? I will forgive you and make you righteous. And the devil says, no, he won't. He's a liar. He's a liar. There's another verse you can put on your list. 1 John 1:9. When the devil comes and says, God didn't forgive you, you need to say, yes, he did. He said so right here. I did what he said. He said, forgive me. And God did, because God's not a liar. And so he tells you things that are false. He tells you things to think on things that are forgiven. And he tells you to think about things that are forbidden. Forbidden. You know, there's a lot of things in them God tells us we shouldn't think about. Don't think about bad things. Don't think about dirty things. Don't think about, you know, wicked things. We need to leave those things out of our mind. Just push them away. You know, but the devil says, come on, think about this. Or he'll let us see something that brings it to our mind. No, I'm not going to think about that. You know, you fellas, you see some woman not dressed very good, or you see some picture that doesn't look very good. You need to turn away and say, God, help me there, and memorize some verse to think about it, and walk away from it. Don't think about the forbidden. Why? Because you do, the devil grabs on you, and he wraps his tentacles around you, and he traps you. And we don't want that. So we need to run away. So he tempts us with things that are false, or things that are forgiven, and things that are forbidden. And I end with this verse, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, he tells us very clearly, that's what I want you to think on. Things that are true, honest, just, lovely, pure. He said, I want you to think on those things. Think on those things. Don't think about the dirty things. Don't think about the lies. Don't think about the false things. Don't think about the things that have been forgiven already. Think about things that are good and true and wholesome and honest. Think about those things. And so there's another verse you can add to your list of things that you need to work on memorizing to help you in the devil's attacks. To think right. The Bible's full of verses that will help you in all different subjects to be able to put on truth. So, as we cap it all up, God is telling us here, in order for us to stand strong when the storms come, the cyclones of temptation come your way, you can stand strong, and when the cyclones pass, you're still standing strong. In order to stand strong, we need to put on the belt of truth. The belt of truth. We need to know the truth. We need to believe the truth. We need to memorize the truth, and we need to recall the truth. in the time of temptation. Satan comes and starts attacking you. You need to bring back those verses in your mind. Memorize, quote them. You know, you can carry around your Bible with you, and if you haven't got it memorized yet, pull it out. Find the page quick and read it. Read it to yourself. Read it to the devil. Why? Because it's the Word of God. What did Jesus do when Satan tempted him? He quoted the Bible. Now, if Jesus, the Son of God, quoted the Bible to defeat the devil, then we should do the same thing. We're certainly not no better than the Lord. We've got to quote the Bible. And so, have it memorized. Carry it with you. Keep it in your pocket. Whatever you got to do, just keep the Word of God there to help you. And you know your temptations. You get those things and mark it down. And remember, the devil's a liar, and he will plague you to try to get you to think on things that are false, on things that are forgiven, and things that are forbidden. Don't let him do it. Don't fall for his tricks. Stay away. Stay close to God. Keep on the belt of truth, and so that you don't trip or be slow in your reactions. Now, how are we going to do it? Well, we got to find those verses that will help us in our weaknesses. And I know my weaknesses. You need to know your weaknesses. And then you need to go looking for verses that will help you in those areas where you're weak. Maybe it's a weakness of worry. Maybe it's a weakness of your thoughts or your eyes or your ears or something else where you're thinking or listening to things you shouldn't or going places you shouldn't go or looking at things you shouldn't. Whatever it is, you know your weaknesses. Find a verse that will help you to stand strong and belt it on. Belt it on. By memorizing it and then keeping it in your heart, that is the only way that God says that we can have victory over that. He said that is putting on the belt of truth. And that's what we need to do. We need to obey God in this area and let God give us strength. All right, we've got work to do. It's not easy. Putting on the armor, God didn't say it was going to be easy. But he says it'll work. Why? Because it's not my armor, it's God's armor. It's God's armor. So tonight, you need to go home, you need to think about your weakness areas, and you need to start making a list of verses. You can't, you know, if you come up with 10 verses, you probably won't be able to memorize them all tonight. All right, so don't get discouraged. Take one of them, write them on a card, and keep working on it until you got it down. Then start on the second one. And work on it and review the other one, because you'll forget that one, you know, in 2 days you'll forget the first one. And you go back and learn that one again. Keep going over and over and over and over and over again. They say that you got to go over things for about a month every day before it kind of sinks in and cements in your mind. Our minds are great things, but sometimes they're slow to absorb. All right, so just work at it. You can do it. You can do it. But let's put on the belt of truth. Okay?